hanging out here inside of the Cafe Kubal Studios, having a great time with you inside of these Cafe Kubal Studios
as we await having
Mr. Mike Sofka here on the broadcast with us. Very excited to have Mike here on the broadcast with us, and always have fun with Mike as we're getting set here to continue our fantasy football conversations inside of the Cafe Kubal Studios. This is the Fantasy Football Power Hour, not one of, not a, but the Fantasy Football Power Hour. And this Fantasy Football Power Hour is proudly presented exclusively by the Wildcat Sports Pub on 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. And so make sure you head out there and find us at the Wildcat Sports Pub. They're open 7 days a week. And of course, you can get to them by enjoying them on site on location. They have the ability to dine inside or outside. And Mr. Sofka is here with us. So talking about the Wildcat Sports Pub, our proud partner, you can find them 7 days a week at 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. You can also find them by calling them for takeout or delivery at 315-487-2222 for the Wildcat. So with all of that being said, we are here with a very special edition of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora's The Fantasy Football Power Hour. And this conversation is going to be featuring our thoughts and our take on the running backs of the NFL for the upcoming 2022-23 fantasy season, NFC edition. 16 teams, one broadcast right here for you. Mr. Sofka, how are we doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's June. It's the 1st of June. It feels like, you know what this feels like? It feels like you've been playing this game in the street with your friends, stickball, whatever, and all of a sudden, you're halfway through the game, and reinforcements come. There's like five more guys come. Okay, you're three on that team, you two on this team. I am even the guy who doesn't play fantasy football year round has got to start looking at fantasy football now. I mean, it's June. I'm excited. It's the season.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this upcoming season. Very excited for everything that's going to be here with us inside of the Fantasy Football Power Hour. You know that Mike and I are here with you all the way through. We are here all year long. We don't take time off. We're fantasy football supporters, lovers. Hopefully you trust us. So hopefully we're trusted voices for you. But we love being here with you. We love talking fantasy football. We love everything that we can bring to the community. And today is the day for us to jump in and talk about the world of the running back. And we're going to go to the NFC, and we're going to spend time with every NFC team, every single division in the NFC. And so we're going to start things off in the NFC North, Mr. Sofka, and we're going to go in alphabetical order. So with that being said, we'll go to the Chicago Bears first, and your thoughts on the Chicago Bears in their running back situation. And to give people a little bit of a primer here to let you know exactly what that looks like right now. David Montgomery, obviously back with the team. Darrington Evans, who used to be a fill-in for the Tennessee Titans. And Khalil Herbert, who came onto the team as a rookie last year. Mike, what are your thoughts on the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, you know, I like David Montgomery. I think he's an every-down type kind of back. I think they're going to work Khalil Herbert in there to kind of manage that situation a little bit. So I'll give you an example where he ranks right now. David Montgomery, number 17 on the rankings. And right now I'd be looking at maybe rostering Khalil Herbert for maybe a flex position off the bench or something. But I'm not going to invest too heavily there. I'm not going to invest too heavily in David Montgomery either. I mean, why would I venture to get four guys that are in their 20s, you know, in the rankings, when I can get one guy that's an elite guy? You can do a lot better than David Montgomery as your running back. It's always important to have at least one good running back on your team. David Montgomery might not be that guy, but he could be an RB2 for you.
Yeah, you know, I think in my opinion, honestly, I think, you know, David Montgomery, and we look at his numbers from last year and what he was able to give you. He had a total last season of 849 yards, 3.8 yards a carry, 7 touchdowns on the season, that coming rushing. So not a bad bet. He played in 13 games last season, so he was out for a little bit. I call him a running back too as well. I can agree with you on that. I don't really think there's anybody else here that I would look to. Herbert and Darrington Evans, those are guys that, you know, God willing, David Montgomery doesn't go down. But if he does, that's where you look to them. This isn't one of those teams where you want to roster two guys from the Chicago Bears as far as drafting them out of the gate, in my opinion. The Detroit Lions have DeAndre Swift when he's healthy. Jamal Williams is still there. Mike's more of a fan of Jamal Williams than I am. And then they have a bunch of non-household names, right? Craig Reynolds, Godwin, Igbuke, Greg Bell, and Jamar Jefferson. Your thoughts on this and what your take is when it comes down to really looking at this, and if you feel that DeAndre Swift still should be a number one running back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think DeAndre Swift should be a number one running back. This is a guy who can be the every down guy, but they're going to mix in some Jamal Williams there, and they're going to do that to keep DeAndre Swift healthy. I mean, running backs in the NFL take a pounding. So, I know sometimes they try to get out of bounds, try to avoid contact and what have you, but I think it's going to be – I think you're going to mix in Jamal Williams a little more than people are comfortable with, okay? So, I like DeAndre Swift as a number one, but you got to take that for what it's worth, okay? DeAndre Swift's number nine on my rankings right now. So he's at the bottom end. He's almost an RB2, just squeaking in RB1. So I think you're going to see maybe 200 carries for DeAndre Swift, and then maybe, I don't know, 120 carries or so for Jamal Williams. Now, it might be a lot, you say, for Jamal Williams, but, you know, they got other guys in the backfield they'd like to get in there. I'm sure they're looking to get Jamar Jefferson involved as well. So, can DeAndre Swift stay healthy? He had a health issue at one point, too. So it all comes down to how are they going to manage this quarterback situation. I'm sorry, it all goes back to the quarterback in Jared Goff. You got one of the worst quarterbacks. So are these guys going to run the heck out of the ball? Maybe not. They just brought in Jameson Wilson. They just brought in DJ Chark, Amon St. Brown. I think this team can do something. I just don't think I'm going to invest a lot of money draft-wise for a Detroit running back.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you on that. I mean, I think Detroit, if DeAndre Swift is healthy, but that's a big if, right? And I dealt with that last year, having DeAndre Swift. Is he healthy? Is he going to be healthy? Is he healthy now? Is he going to be healthy this week? Oh, he played. Oh, he kind of played. Well, he played for a little bit. Oh, now he's out again for 3 weeks. You know, that's the question mark, and it's not something that I want to have to deal with. So, you know, DeAndre Swift to me, yeah, he's good when he's there, but that's the thing. He's good when he's there, right? And people will say that to you. They'll say, man, I was in this relationship one time, and when it was good, it was great. When it was bad, it was awful. And that's not the type of one that I want. That's not the woman that you marry. That's the woman you date. Maybe you have some crazy nights with, but that's not the one that you marry. And that's who DeAndre Swift right now is. He's the one that I'm dating that maybe I had a few – you know, good roller coaster rides with, but maybe he's not the one I'm going to bring home to mama. 5 rushing touchdowns last year, 617 yards, 4.1 yards a carry, 151 carries. Jamal Williams had 153 carries. So, you know, they did spread it out, but also DeAndre Swift wasn't healthy, and that balloons the numbers a little bit for Jamal Williams. So am I for rostering Jamal Williams in a deep league? Potentially, yes. He's not the worst bet you can have. He's not somebody that I look to be in my normal rotation, and I like him more than maybe people think that I do, but he's not somebody that I trust to carry my team. I don't trust DeAndre Swift to carry my team. So I like that DeAndre is a young gun that's got talent, but I'm wary of the fact that he needs to stay healthy, and that is something that makes him a running back too. I don't want DeAndre Swift to be the first running back I take off the board. That's what I'm saying. I don't want him to be the first running back, no matter where I'm drafting, to be the one that I have to take. I want to be smarter than that. Next up, the Green Bay Packers, NFC North. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, my dude from B.C. Shout out to Steve Adazio and the staff getting the right dude. Kylan Hill coming over to them as a young gun. Patrick Taylor, a guy that I covered. And so they got a bunch of guys here that, you know, Kylan Hill and Patrick Taylor could be auditioning for other teams at some point. But as of right now, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you would think looking at this on paper that it would be Aaron Jones and then, you know, A.J. Dillon are coming. I think A.J. Dillon has something to prove now. I think he's been around a little bit, and I think it's going to be more of a 50-50 split. That's going to surprise a lot of people, but I got him projected to each get about 180 carries. I think Aaron Jones gets the difference on the field. It gets the nod in a scoring situation, but not necessarily in a short yardage situation. I think they may go back to A.J. Dillon. So I got Aaron Jones right now, number 13 on my running back rankings, and I got A.J. Dillon at number 25. And like you said, there's some other talented guys they're bringing in, but, you know, they're not going to usurp, you know, Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon anytime soon from the looks of it now anyway. Now, if one of these guys gets hurt, A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones, the other one automatically becomes, oh, I got to have that guy. So keep your eye out for, you know, player health going into the season.
Yeah, you know, so I think that really does come down to it here is player health and making sure that, you know, you're watching all of this because, I mean, Aaron Jones, listen, he's somebody that a couple of years ago I didn't see the value in. I see the value now. A.J. Dillon was a guy that I thought as a rookie when they drafted him in the second round was going to get more hay. He did not. But they let go of Jamal Williams and kept A.J. Dillon, which tells you something. They'd rather keep the young guy than keep the guy that they had there. So obviously they thought he was serviceable, but not enough. So, you know, looking at this team now, I'm really hopeful and I'm excited on what they could do with them. And I do. I think that there is going to be a healthy dance of this. And I'm excited to see what this is going to look like and what it's going to turn into. So ultimately, you know, for me, both of these guys are worth drafting. Aaron Jones is obviously a number one for you. A.J. Dillon is going to be a high number two. I think A.J. Dillon should rise up some boards. I think people that listen to our show, he will. I want those people to forget what we said when it's draft day for me. But I mean, you can remember in your other leagues, just not when you're drafting against me. But A.J. Dillon's a guy that I've talked about over and over and over again. I like that people are now in tune with him. I like that people are excited about him. And I'm hopeful in what he's going to do. He doesn't have my guru out there doing his thing. He doesn't have Nate Hackett running that offense anymore because Nate's running the Denver Broncos. But I'm hopeful for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, the best 1-2 punch, if you ask me, of this division of the NFC North, in my opinion. Which brings me to who I would consider to have the best second 1-2 punch in the division, and that's Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison of the Minnesota Vikings. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I like Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's a guy that when healthy, and he's proved that finally, when healthy, he can be your number one guy. He can be a guy that carries your team to the championship. It's just a matter of can he play the full season? You know, that's where you're at. Because he's the type of guy that, you know, PPR or just a standard scoring league is going to be able to get you a lot of points. He's going to have a lot of scoring opportunities. Now, don't get me wrong. I like what I saw from Alexander Mattison. Kenny Nwangu, are they going to get him in the mix? They just brought in Ty Chandler as well. So, look, they got a great passing attack with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. They got a great running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And they got a guy who's steady Eddie, always on the Mendoza line, Kirk Cousins, as a quarterback. So I think that this is a good situation. This is a good football team. I look for a good football team to have a balanced attack and put up some points. And I think this is a team that's capable of putting up some points. That's what you want from your fantasy running back. You want a guy that's going to be on a team that scores points. That's Dalvin Cook. He's an RB1 for me at number 7.
Yeah, he's definitely an RB1. And, you know, I'm going to put it very simple. We don't have to overcomplicate things here. The reality of it all is, yes, on Dalvin Cook is a number one. And a late round handcuff that if you got 5 or 6 running backs on your team, I am more than okay with it, is picking up Alexander Mattison. Because I think at some point this season, you're going to need them. And so I think the person that has that extra spot to say, you know what, I'm going to grab them and stash them, I like that. And, you know, so I definitely am looking for this and looking for what Alexander Mattison can do here. They did bring in a bunch of guys, so we'll see what they could do. But, you know, ultimately for me, I think Mattison is a nice late round grab and stash sleeper for you. But Dalvin Cook healthy is a player that everybody wants on their team. And shout out to his brother, James Cook, who I interviewed, and he's on the front page of wakeupcalldt.com. You can watch that, from Georgia, who just won a national championship in the college football playoff, who will now be a Buffalo Bill to potentially be better than Devin Singletary and Zach Moss put together. So if they had a baby, I think that baby would be uglier than what Dalvin Cook is, because he's pretty. So I'm excited for Dalvin Cook and what he could do. We go from the NFC North to the NFC South, and we'll start things off in the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons have changed their running back like underwear recently. They now have Cordarrelle Patterson still, who to some people is a running back, to some people is a wide receiver. And we have Damian Williams, who used to be a Kansas City Chief. They drafted Tyler Allgeier, who has some good numbers coming out of college. They also have Jeremy McNichols, who spent some time with the Titans. And they also have Quadri Allison, who they drafted out of the Pittsburgh Panthers. They have Caleb Huntley and Avery Williams. So a lot going on in Atlanta. And dare I say, I think Tyler Allgeier might actually find some hay this year. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I keep getting, Tyler Allgeier forced down my throat every time I turn around. People are saying, oh, this is the guy. Oh, I'm surprised you're not on this guy. I'm just not there yet. I have to see something, I guess. Pretend I'm from Missouri. I'm from the show me state. I need to see it first. Look, Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy that I like in a flex position. He's number 23 as far as a running back, and I think it's great that he's in the running back position. I think he excels there because, like Deebo Samuel, he has that ability to run the ball quickly out of the backfield. You saw that initially with him on jet sweeps and so forth, but now they're just like, shoot, just give him the ball, because he has patience, he has vision. Yeah. And if you get him the ball in space, my God, this guy can still get it done. So why not have him on the field? Why not put him at running back, but split him out? Now is he running the ball? Is he catching the ball? How do I defend that? So I think that's great. I like them to mix in a Tyler Allgeier. I think you're right. I think a Damian Williams can contribute. And there is the problem for fantasy players. I'm mentioning four or five guys here. You can't have that. So I think if I can get Cordarrelle Patterson late in the draft, if I can get him as a flex guy on my team, I'm going to be happy. But the rest is just too much of a muddled mess. Unless an injury, or unless some dynamic play by one of these guys takes over and makes this a situation where it's no longer a committee.
And remember, there is a quarterback change. So no longer Matt Ryan's team anymore. And Calvin Ridley is not going to be there to help you out. So these running backs may be relied on more, and it may be positive, it may be negative. You got Marcus Mariota, my guy Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati there is a rookie who I think within the next, 2 years will take over. And then we have in Atlanta the fact that Calvin Ridley's not there, but they made some moves to bring in some people. So we'll see what it looks like. But to lose Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones over the last two seasons, that's a tall task for a team that already was not in good shape and playing from behind a lot. And sometimes it helped, sometimes it didn't. Ultimately, I think this Atlanta team has more questions than answers right now, and that makes it difficult. That is a muddied backfield. Tyler Allgeier coming off of 2,000-yard seasons back-to-back, 1130 and 1601 most recently, and carried the ball 276 times this past season, 28 receptions after having 14, and has 36 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 years after having none in his first two seasons. So we'll see what it looks like from here from the Brigham Young rookie running back. But like I said, more questions than answers, muddy backfield, figuring out the quarterback situation, figuring out the wide receiver situation. It's a lot of what is going to happen in Atlanta. And you don't want to be the guy if you want to get Cordarrelle, fine. But if you want to roll the dice early on, go ahead and do that, because I'm not going to be leaning on them early on in any of my drafts. Carolina Panthers, Christian McCaffrey, Chuba Hubbard, Dante Foreman. All of these guys have had to be a starting running back. Christian McCaffrey has been a steal out of Stanford. Chuba Hubbard had to step in last year with Christian McCaffrey not being healthy. Dante Foreman was supposed to be the future of the Houston Texans. So they're all there right now. Chuba, I still think, finds his time out there on the field somehow, some way. Could be a third down guy. And I think with Christian McCaffrey being injured so much over the last couple of years, especially recently, I think that they have to put Chuba Hubbard out there just because you want to lighten the load on Christian McCaffrey. So is Christian McCaffrey still a number one running back? And does Chuba Hubbard's stock rise because of the fact that we can't rely on Christian McCaffrey staying healthy?
I think it all comes down to money pretty soon here. Yeah. I think Christian McCaffrey's got to prove he can stay healthy and prove he's still the guy. He's 26. This is a guy who still has a lot of life in him, but he's got to prove that. And I think he is going to prove that. Look, there were times where Chuba Hubbard took over and he looked like he had flashes of brilliance. Donta Foreman, the same thing. But you know what? I don't trust either one of those guys long-term right now. I trust Christian McCaffrey. I'm looking at this team with the addition of Terrace Marshall last year, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. I'm looking at the only thing they need to fix is that quarterback situation. And if Christian McCaffrey can just be Christian McCaffrey, which is what his coach is going to need him to do,
yeah,
be that three-down guy, be the guy that can get 80 receptions and be that guy that, you know, I can give you the ball 220, 230 times. That's a guy that I can rest everything I have on my team in his hands. Yeah, I'm going to run that. He's 26. He's had the last 2 years off, basically. He's been injured. He's fresh. He should be ready to go. I'm in on Christian McCaffrey this year. Now, he's not my number one overall, number two overall, Jonathan Taylor. But I like Christian McCaffrey at number two. Chuba Hubbard, Donta Foreman, I may look at them at the very end of the draft as a handcuff, but I don't even think I'm rostering those guys.
Yeah, I think Chuba Hubbard's still a danger zone to put on your roster from the draft, depending on how deep your league is. I mean, listen, if it's 16 teams, then you're going to have to, or 14, you're going to have to. I like keeping leagues between 8 and 12 because 8, there's always somebody available. 10, there's usually somebody available. What?
Eight.
What I'm saying is the nice area is 10 to 12. That's the nice area. If you have 8, if you have to make one of that, then somebody's always available. What I'm saying is the juicy area is 10 to 12. I like 10. I like 12 max. Because when you get to 14, then there's really almost nobody in the waiver wire and in free agency. It just looks awful in free agency. It's fourth and fifth down guys. You're choosing running backs and wide receivers that are returning punts. That's it. So to me, 10 to 12, if you have to have 8, well, then everybody wins. That's what I'm saying, okay? Sometimes everybody gets a lollipop, Mike. I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, we're in this world right now.
Trophies for everyone. Thank you for participating.
Yeah, you know, free gas for everybody. That's right. Forget about free education, free gas. Christian McCaffrey, yes, he's still a number one running back. Yes, I'm still nervous about it. I would love to get a running back and then come get him on the back end. I'd love, like, if I'm in an area where I can get two picks, then I would do that. But I think somebody's obviously going to go for him. I think it's really hard to get out of the first round without somebody taking Christian McCaffrey. Chuba Hubbard, I don't want to roster him right now. He's somebody I look to, but I'm not as confident saying yes. But Christian McCaffrey, he's a guy that a couple of years ago I drafted high, which was nothing wrong with doing that. There was nothing wrong with drafting him high. It was the right decision to make. I don't think anybody would fight me on it. But then he got hurt. And that is a frustrating thing, right? When you finally get him, and that's the year where, you know, or the year that I got Adrian Peterson finally and he beat his child. And I didn't have him. So, you know, it's the very tall. I mean, that's what somebody said. They're like, hey, look at Dan. He got the number one overall pick. He got Christian McCaffrey. And look at his record. And I said, yeah, well, you can't. I tried to do the best I could in free agency and in moving people around. But my team, you know, they took those paddles and they tried to resuscitate my team a couple times with that Christian McCaffrey team, never bounced back. So I'm going to be a little when I do it, but I still feel good about drafting Christian McCaffrey. I might wince, but I'm still going to make the pick. The New Orleans Saints, not number one overall, though. New Orleans Saints, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram II, you know, reunited, and it feels so good. Mark Ingram didn't get a lot of play last year, though. Tony Jones, We'll see. He had to fill in for both of these guys last year due to injury. And Dwayne Washington still bouncing around the NFL. Devin Ozigbo, who used to be with the Jacksonville Jaguars, is also on the roster. Does the Kamara Ingram conundrum become more of a 1-2 punch like it used to be? Or is the second act of this dance not worth watching?
You know, I still got Mark Ingram getting his share of touches. I still got him getting a little over 100 touches. At 32 years old, it's remarkable that this guy still has it. He's a locker room guy. He makes everybody around him in that running back room a lot better, including Alvin Kamara. I know you're asking me, how can he possibly make that make him better? Well, constantly having the guy that's, you know, been around now. Alvin Kamara's been around now. He's a pro at this point. But I'm just saying, it's good to have that guy that's an older guy. If I'm Alvin Kamara, I'm like, shoot, this guy's 32 years old. I might have another 6 years in me. You know, yeah. I think that's what you want to have around you, that positive energy. At the same time, I got Kamara as a draftable guy. He's definitely a PPR running back for you. He's number 8 on my ranking. Look, I'm not drafting Mark Ingram or Tony Jones or any of these other guys. It's just not worth it for the roster spot. However, I'm going to keep my eye on the waiver wire and my eye on Alvin Kamara's health, because there have been times where Alvin Kamara's been dinged up. So, hey, whatever it's worth, you always got to protect yourself. Sometimes it's a great idea to handcuff a running back at the very late rounds, the very last round, just before your defense and kicker. And we always do what? We always pick our kicker last. That's correct.
Yeah, there is a rule in our league, and there's always somebody that breaks it, and I want to make them go sit in the corner. So it's, you know, that guy in the 9th round who's got to take Justin Tucker has to do it. You know, Kansas City fan that's got to take the Kansas City kicker. The guy, you know, who wants to giggle when he takes Young Hoku, whatever it may be. But ultimately, as Mike and I are drafting our 4th running back and 3rd wide receiver, you're drafting your kicker. And with all due respect, have fun with that. And the people that draft 2 kickers and 3 defenses, my best to you as well. With that being said, Alvin Kamara, worth picking, still a number 1 guy. Mark Ingram, wait on that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ronald Jones II. Remember when he got drafted and there was those words coming out of camp that he might not even make the roster when he got drafted because he didn't understand the playbook? He wasn't getting it down. He was making mistakes. Well, now he's not there anymore. Now he's a Kansas City Chief. Leonard Fournette has a 3-year deal after signing 2 1-year deals. Rashad White has been drafted to come on the team. And Keyshawn Vaughn's still there. And the man who helps you in PPR, Giovanni, don't call me Bernard, is still there. So what do you think about this? How much does White take away from Fournette? And is there anything to Vaughn and Bernard?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything with Vaughn and Bernard. Look, Giovanni Bernard's still going to get some opportunity right up front. Hopefully he can stay healthy. He's had some problems with that later. And when you get a little longer in a tooth in the NFL, you've been around like Giovanni Bernard, that's going to happen. Look, Keyshawn Vaughn's had his opportunity, if you ask me. It's a do or die. Is he going to make the roster this year? But I'll tell you what, Leonard Fournette has had this resurgence with the Bucs here, and I think it's great for him. I think it's great for his career. I don't see him jawing on the sideline, horsing around like he's a high school football team anymore like he did in Jacksonville. Look, this is a guy who's got it together. He's on a great team. They got great receivers. They got a great quarterback. They have one of the great – well, not yet. Gronk's not back yet. But what I'm saying is this is a team that's geared up for a run.
I'll be back in about 5 minutes from this conversation, but go ahead.
Yeah. Within that, look, I like Rashad White. Now, I don't think he's going to cut into Leonard Fournette's production. I still got Leonard Fournette, a 200-carry guy. But this is a situation where they're going to preserve Fournette with Rashad White. And it's obvious Rashad White's a lot younger, got a lot more gas in the tank, got a lot more horsepower probably. But you can't make up for what Leonard Fournette has in experience in the NFL at this point in his career. So, again, I think Leonard Fournette, draftable RB1, late-end RB1. He's number 10 on my ranking here. Rashad White, I got him at 50. But look for him early spring. And look at health all the time, especially when you get running backs that are a little longer in the tooth, have a little mileage on the tires like Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I think Leonard Fournette, I think he's draftable. I think he's a running back too. And I think, you know, beyond that, I think you have to watch this one. I think Rashad White is going to get some time this year. And you just have – this is one of the guys we're going to tell you right now. You're going to have to remember the name, write it down, put it on a sticky note in your office, keep it there, pull it out, look at it. There's a list of names that we're going to tell you are going to either be on the waiver wire or be in free agency. You need to be first to these names. Rashad White is going to be one of those names, in my opinion. But Leonard Fournette is a running back too right now, and he is worth the pickup. So I think you should definitely go out there and get him. Keeping here with the running backs of fantasy football for the 2022-23 season in the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York, indoor and outdoor seating, volleyball court, 7 days a week. And, of course, you can go to them for takeout and delivery by calling 315-487-2222. That's 315-487-2222. Private banquet room. You can have your banquets there, your anniversaries there, your birthday parties there. You can watch all the games there. You can go on a date there. You can have your family there. You can bring the kids there. The Wildcat Sports Pub found a way to bring it all together, make it all fun, and keep it all safe. And we are proud to have worked with them for 5 years, going on half a decade. We're here with the Wildcat, and we love working with the entire team there, Danny Tome and the gang. So make sure you head out to the Wildcat Sports Pub, support local, and have some fantastic food. By the way, took second place. They were in a wing contest for the first time ever, and they took second place in Central and Upstate New York. So a big shout out to the Wildcats and that Wildcat sauce that you can get on the boneless wings or regular wings along with all their sauces. Go out and do that today. With that being said, we're going to shift to the NFC West. This is the running back edition of our fantasy football coverage, NFC side of things. All 16 teams in the NFC. We head off to the NFC West and the Arizona Cardinals. Guess what? The Arizona Cardinals depth chart, this is what it looks like at some places. First string, James Conner. Second string, blank. Third string, everybody else. Keontae Ingram, Jonathan Ward, Ronnie Rivers, TJ Pledger. You could tell me that these are guys that are part of a band or a football team. I would go, sure, okay. James Conner signed a one-year, $1 million contract last year because the Pittsburgh Steelers were stupid and they let him go. Now James Conner is back with the Arizona Cardinals, and James Conner put up them numbers last year. Just to let you know on James Conner really quick here, 752 yards, 202 carries, and 15 rushing touchdowns. Dude's a beast. Beat cancer, beat leg injuries, and he beat you up if you didn't take him on your team last year. Mike, what do you think about the Arizona Cardinals running back situation, or shall I say James Conner?
Yeah, if you got a guy that beat cancer and you've seen what he can do when he's healthy in the NFL, that's a guy I want. I mean, there's elite players and then there's elite players. Now, what I mean by that is, well, he's an elite running back. He doesn't have the elite numbers because he has had the injuries and so forth, and he has had the doubt in Pittsburgh. Well, now here he is in Arizona. He's rejuvenated his career. I see him getting the ball at least 200 times. I see him getting at least 45 receptions out of the backfield. I don't think it's a committee situation. I don't think Darrell Williams threatens him. Eno Benjamin's a nice young guy. They're trying to get involved, and they brought in a horde of other guys, but I just don't see any one guy overtaking James Conner and his role on this team. I think he's the three-down back. I think he's a guy that, you know, you can draft on your team. However, I got him at number 11. So that means he's at the very end of the RB1 spectrum there. So depending on where you get him, you don't overpay for a guy like this, but you know what? You can't let him get past you either at a certain point. So I like some James Conner as a bottom-end RB1.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, I think bottom end RB1, high end RB2 for James Conner, and there's nobody else to write home about there in Arizona right now. I think if he's healthy, he's your guy, and I hope to God he stays healthy. Love covering him. Love talking with Pat Narduzzi, the Pitt Panthers coach, about him, and would love to cross paths with James Conner again soon. The Los Angeles Rams, this is the opposite effect. You got Cam Akers, who hasn't always stayed healthy, Daryl Henderson Jr., who I was a fan of coming out of Memphis. I thought he turned on earlier. He turned on in year three. Kyren Williams, they draft from Notre Dame. Jake Funk, they take on to the team. later on in the draft. So you have four guys here that could all see time. And Akers and Henderson are the guys that are fighting for it. They got to stay healthy. They got to stay consistent. Neither one of them has done either. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a situation right here where Cam Akers would normally be the guy that you would just be so excited about. He'd normally be the guy that you'd be like, yeah, he's definitely a solid RB1 in a PPR league. Well, he is. He's going to get the ball 200, 220 times. They're going to try to keep him fresh and keep him around by using Darrell Henderson out of the backfield, which he can do, bringing in a Kyren Williams to spell either one of these guys. Now, mind you, you know, Akers' return yet from this injury is especially, look, an Achilles is an Achilles. It's a hard thing, okay? Yeah. Not everybody recovers the same way. I think Cam Akers has got that fully behind him. I got him projected at 220 carries this year, so go get you some Cam Akers. He can be a RB1 for you, but listen carefully. He's number 22 on my ranking right now. I think Darrell Henderson and Kyren Williams are going to get a little bit more than people think. In the passing down situation, I think they're going to preserve Cam Akers for those first and second down opportunities.
Yeah, you know, Darrell Henderson Jr., 688 yards last year, 149 carries, 4.6 yards a carry, 5 rushing touchdowns. Kyren Williams comes in, and I think, you know, Cam, again, has to stay healthy. I think Cam might be out of the gate, but Darrell Henderson may be the guy that you're going to lean on more. I think these are middle round. These are guys that you let fall to you a little bit here. This is not your number one guy. This is maybe not your number two guy. So I think that ultimately they're talented, but don't waste an early draft pick.
I have a quick word of warning here, because right now Cam Akers is getting drafted a little higher than what I have him ranked. So if you're going by my rankings, which I'm very proud of, you're probably not going to get him, because somebody's going to draft him as an RB1. When I said he can be your RB1, he has that ceiling. He can get up that high, but right now he's 22.
Yeah, I think, and I think that a healthy Cam Akers that has done some things in college, or in pro, that would change the mindset. Right now, it stays where it is. San Francisco 49ers with the NFC West. Elijah Mitchell, Tyrion Davis Price, Jeff Wilson Jr., Trey Sermon, who did nothing last year out of Ohio State, Jamichael Hasty, who Mike brought up a lot, and Jordan Mason. Tyrion Davis Price, you probably don't know the name. Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson, Trey Sermon, and Jamichael Hasty, you know those names, because Hasty helps you sometimes, Mitchell helps you sometimes, Wilson helps you sometimes, and Trey Sermon pissed you off. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was disappointed with Trey Sermon, and he's relegated a little lower on the depth chart right now. I'm real intrigued by Davis Price. I think this is a great opportunity for him, but can he get on the field past an Elijah Mitchell? I got Elijah Mitchell projected at over 200 carries here, so I think it's more or less Elijah Mitchell's backfield to lose, but they got these other names. Don't forget a name like Jamichael Hasty, who's come on in and stepped up at times. Jeff Wilson, who's been integral at times of need. So it's just a matter of what happens and what happens over here in camp. What happens in preseason? Who stays healthy? Because that's been a problem in this backfield before, hell. So right now it looks like it could be a committee, but I got Elijah Mitchell at 26. So I'm not expecting this guy to be an RB1 for me. I'm expecting him to be like a flex for me, a solid flex. I'm expecting to have a Davis Price on my bench. And then I'm going to keep an eye out for these other names, Jeff Wilson, Trey Sermon, Jamichael Hasty on the waiver wire later on.
Yeah, and a shout-out to the young running back Elijah Mitchell, who finished the season just shy of 1,000 yards, 963 yards, 207 carries in that crowded backfield that's been there for the last few years. 4.7 yards a carry and 5 rushing touchdowns. They've tried a lot of guys. Basically, after Carlos Hyde left, it's been a wide-open horse race. But Elijah Mitchell's been the horse when he's been healthy. And Tyrion Davis Price is coming off of a 1,000-yard season, 1,003, at LSU with 4.8 yards a carry, very close to Elijah Mitchell, and 6 touchdowns, very close to Elijah Mitchell. So We'll see what he could do as he transitions to the NFL, which is always a transition, even for the best of them. Look at what Peyton Manning had to go through. So Elijah Mitchell, yeah, I'd like to have him on my roster. No, I don't want to have to rely on him as a number one. And I would love to pick him up as a lower two, high three. So that would be my look at it. We put up, as you know, every single week, we put up on Twitter at CallDT. That's C-A-L-L-D-T. Follow us there if you haven't. And we'll put them up on the video as well from time to time. In the moment, you can vote in these polls. And on Twitter, those polls will be coming into us soon. I just put one up, though. If you were Aaron Donald, would you retire in your early 30s after winning a Super Bowl, or would you keep playing? 100% of you in the early voting have said that you would retire. You've done enough. You're 30. You made a ton of money. You made your hay. You're going to go, you know, you're an all-star. You're looking at going to the Hall of Fame in the NFL. You're one of the greatest Pitt Panthers of all time, not just defensively. So leave with your health, leave with your body, leave with your money, leave with your Super Bowl. Makes sense. What do you think?
I say run it back. I say do it again. I say see if they can find a way to fit you under that cap over there and do it again. I say he's still – I venture to say he could play again this year at his age and still be the number one defensive lineman in the league.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if he stays, obviously yes. If he stays, then they got a real good shot at going back to a Super Bowl and potentially winning that thing. I'm saying health-wise, you got every reason to leave. As far as playing-wise, bro could play for another 5-6 years. I wouldn't be surprised. So we'll see what happens in that world. Finishing the NFC West, we have Rashad Penny, who's back, Chris Carson, who's on the injury report before the season even started. Color me surprised, I'm not. DJ Davis, Travis Homer, who I covered at Miami, Darwin Thompson, who my guy DeAndre Smith, who's now the running backs coach with the Giants, he trained him at Utah State when he had over 1,000 yards. He went on to win a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they drafted Kenneth Walker III. I think Kenneth Walker has a grand chance to become the number one running back in Seattle, as they've had nothing to write home about. DJ has not been used a lot. Homer hasn't been used a lot. Carson has been used when he's healthy. He's been good, but he doesn't stay healthy for a full season. Rashad Penny has never shown that he's been worth the high draft pick. So Kenneth Walker III really looks like he's going to be the guy if he wants to be the guy. I think that he's a sleeper of the draft. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great call. I think he was one of the top two running backs in the draft. I mean, he had a heck of a run at Michigan State. This is a guy that I feel good about. But I don't think they're going to rely on him heavy early. Now, you know, a lot can happen between now and then. This is still the beginning of junior. But I think it's his to win. Okay, a lot of times you say it's his position to lose. It's his to win. What I mean by that is Rashad Penny has shown flashes of brilliance. Chris Carson cannot stay healthy. DJ Dallas and Travis Homer are still in the running back room there. So, I mean, you can't discount any one of these guys from cannibalizing the other where it's becoming a murky committee situation. But if I had to put my money on one horse, I'm going to put it on this young stud who just entered here to think he can outrun everyone else. And I think he can do that. So if I was going to bet on one guy, it'd be Kenneth Walker. However, I'm not trusting any one of these guys as my RB1, my RB2, probably not even an RB3 for me. I have Kenneth Walker ranked highest of all of them, and he's at 30. I have Rashad Penny in the 40s. And the depth chart isn't even consistent place to place. Even the places that brag that they have the most accurate NFL up-to-date depth charts, they're all over the place right now. So when you pointed out Chris Carson being injured before the season even starts, so it's too much of a headache for me. I don't have time for that on my fantasy team.
No, and I agree with you 1,000,000,000%. I don't have time for that. Kenneth Walker.
Dynasty-wise, I'm excited about Kenneth Walker. Redraft, yeah.
And I was going to say that. You know, Kenneth Walker III, that's the excitement. That's where it comes from. That's who I'm looking to. Now, Rashad Penny didn't have bad numbers, right? 749 yards, 6.3 yards a carry, 6 touchdowns last season. Chris Carson, you got to fall down the depth chart here, fall down the line here, past quarterbacks, you know, past friggin' Zach Moss even, and just keep falling and keep falling. 232 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4.3 yards carry, because he barely played. This man was behind Philip Lindsay. He was behind Ty Johnson of the Jets. He was just above Sam Darnold with rushing yards. So, yeah, Chris Carson, he never stays healthy. We talk about him being a top 15 guy, but he never stays healthy, so he falls out of that. Kenneth Walker III is the one I'm most proud of. One of the guys I'm most excited about. I'll be proud if I can grab him and stash him on a team that I can have 6 running backs. So I like Kenneth Walker for a rainy day. Rashad Penny, I'm not going to let those numbers fool me, and I'm going to carry on with my life. The NFC East is where we're going to finish things off here, and we will start things off in the NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys. You either love them or you love to hate them. Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, Rico Dowdle, who I love his name, Jaquan Hardy, Malik Davis, and Aaron Shampkin. It's Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. In my opinion, this is Zeke's money year, or this is Zeke's goodbye year, because Tony Pollard ain't going anywhere. That's how I look at it. I think Pollard's stock is up. I think Zeke's stock is dropping. You could argue him as a 7. In most years, you'd say, hey, he's a top 7, right? He's a top 10. He's top 7. I put him at 7. But now with the injuries and all the things going on and the fact that Tony Pollard is serviceable and probably above serviceable, because I think that's like an average term. I think he's above average. I don't think if Zeke can't do it this year, Zeke ain't going to do you know what. And that's how I look at the Dallas Cowboys. What are your thoughts?
Well, what do they say about fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you. Anyway,
fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. What do they say exactly about fool me a billion times and then wear a half shirt that is for the ladies and not the boys?
And get in a fight with a security guard at a festival.
Yeah.
Look, this is a guy in Ezekiel Elliott that I think his better days are behind him, unfortunately. I'm not going to doubt him as a man or as an athlete when I say that. But what I'm saying is, look, he's 26. He hasn't looked like the Zeke that we all thought he was or that he was at one time as an elite running back. Unfortunately, with the arrival of Tony Pollard, that's taken a little away from him. And with his inability to stay healthy and stay on the field, again, your best ability is availability.
Yeah.
Zeke hasn't had that at all times. And Zeke's been don't get me wrong, he's been a solid running back. But I'm not going to talk about him as a top 5 running back anymore. I'm not going to talk about him as an RB1 anymore. Right now, he's like an RB2 for me at 14 on my rankings, with Tony Pollard at 29 on the same rankings. So I think Tony Pollard's presence is enough to keep Zeke down. Now, I'm not saying that Cowboy fans don't go jumping off the nearest bridge there. What I'm trying to say is they're going to preserve Zeke. This is best for the team to spread that around. What it's not best for is your fantasy team.
And what it's not best for is Zeke, who I think will eventually either be kicked out or leave because he's not going to like having a shared time. Listen, Zeke got over 1,000 yards last year, 1,002. But he averaged last season 4.2 yards a carry. Tony Pollard averaged 5.5 yards a carry on the same team. 719 yards, 130 carries for Tony Pollard, who had 2 rushing touchdowns. Zeke had 10. Now, you might give the ball to Zeke at the goal line, but Tony Pollard's going to get that yardage. I think Tony Pollard's going to get more work. I think Zeke might get – I think it's going to even out at some point. I don't want to say Zeke's going to get less. I think it's going to even out at some point. That hurts your fantasy team. I like Tony Pollard more than Zeke. What did I say? Going into last season, Zeke is a 7. You got him at 14. Okay, so you double his number. You drop him down. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I'm okay with that. I like Tony Pollard's stock. I think it's higher. And I think Tony Pollard, yet another Memphis running back. There's a bunch of them in the NFL. And I think that he is a guy that is worth looking to and worth putting out there on your team. Not that Zeke isn't. I'm just sick and tired of going. Listen, if somebody wants to take Zeke 3rd overall, fine. And you want to smirk at me, maybe it works. It's one of those things where it's either going to be incredible or it's going to be the date that puts lipstick on her teeth and up the side of her face. That's how I see Zeke Elliott. Either she's going to walk out of that thing onto the red carpet and that dress is going to kill, or her lipstick is going to be all over her face and it's going to be missing her lips, but it's going to be everywhere else. Okay, that's how I look at it. It's Zeke the freak, and it may be a freak show this year. But Tony Pollard, he's the date that I know is never going to embarrass me when we go to Cheesecake Factory. That's what I know. Why you always fight with me at Cheesecake? I don't have to worry about Tony Pollard doing that, but Zeke will fight with me at Cheesecake. New York Giants. Saquon Barkley, my guy, DeAndre Smith, is now the running backs coach there. He knows that he's got to get Zeke right or Zeke going to be gone. Matt Breida is on his 47th team. There's only 32 teams in the NFL. Figure out my math. Gary Brightwell is there. Antonio Williams and so on and so forth. It's Saquon Barkley. It's make or break. Daniel Jones does not have the option. Make or break this year. Kenny Galladay, make or break. For some odd reason, Kadarius Toney, they finally drafted a guy that could help him out. And it's make or break because allegedly he's on the trade block. Sterling Shepard has spent 82 years with the Giants. It's make or break. It's got it. Well, maybe not for him because somebody likes him there. But Saquon Barkley, you would want to say top five, but they haven't had the offensive lineman to defend him. They haven't had the passing game to help him out. Saquon Barkley, this is the year. This is the year. Is it the year? I feel like there's going to be a lot of paranoid schizophrenics that are thinking about drafting Saquon Barkley. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is all going to go to the offensive coordinator. Who's that? My brother from another mother, Mike Kafka. Kafka. I'm Mike Kafka, right? There you go. Hey, look, they're going to want to run the ball a lot, but they're not going to be able to because of Saquon's health, and they need to preserve Saquon's health. There's a tremendous drop-off past Saquon, so look for them to sign another running back before the year and when everybody starts making moves around the league. But before the year starts, look for them to sign another one. But Saquon is Saquon. They're going to try to get him the ball 200 times, but can he stay on the field? He is a number one running back. He's just not going to give you that type of performance. I have him at number 15 on my rankings right now, and I don't have anybody else worth rostering. I think they're going to pass the ball. I think they're going to figure out ways to get Kadarius Toney involved in that offense, a la Cordero Patterson, a la Deebo Samuel. He's got that kind of get. He's got that kind of vision. I've seen this guy in the college game up close. He can play. Hopefully, this thing about them wanting to trade him isn't a big mark against them. Maybe everything's under the table, under the carpet by now. If they can get Kadarius Toney involved, I think that'll preserve Saquon Barkley that much more. Because now you got another dynamic threat. Now what happens when Kadarius Toney's lined up in the slot? Then he moves over next to Saquon in the backfield. Who's getting the ball? What's happening then? So I think Mike Kafka's got to do a lot to preserve Saquon, make Saquon make the whole year. If that happens, he's the number 15 running back for you this year.
Remember that Kadarius Toney did that in Florida. And you have to have intelligence to do everything that you said. And the Giants have shown me a lack of. So I love your thoughts. I love what it should be. But if it makes sense, I don't know if the Giants will do it. I hope the Giants do it. I really do. I really hope the Giants do it. But this is a team that for 5 years has needed an offensive line. And they finally went out and got Evan Neal. So we'll see. Saquon Barkley last year, 593 yards, 162 carries, 3.7 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, did not play, obviously, the entire season. Listen, this is make or break. If anybody can get something out of a running back, it's DeAndre Smith. This man has made non-household names household names. So now you got a household name that needs to become successful to live up to the name. And so now he's in a situation where he's turned – He's turned non-house. I don't like calling somebody a nobody. It's not fair. Everybody's a somebody. Comes from God. He's turned the non-household into something. Now he has the Saquon Barkley something. Can he make that stand? Can he make that work? And can he help Saquon to stay healthy and happy with this team? We shall see. But if anybody can do it, it's my guy DeAndre, which makes me a little bit more excited about Saquon Barkley and a little bit more excited about Saquon than Ezekiel Elliott, because Saquon doesn't have anybody behind him. Final team of the NFC edition of our running back fantasy primer for the 2022-23 NFL season in the Fantasy Football Power Hour, proudly presented by the Wildcat Sports Pub. Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic, my guy that I just had in Brian Robinson.
Don't you want to talk about Philly, and don't you want to talk about Saquon Barkley Jr., Miles Sanders?
I do want to talk about Philly. I have no idea why I skipped over them. I think it's because I'm so excited that the Washington finally has a name. I just got into it, right? I got really excited. Everybody in Philly's like, hey, what are you? Hey, listen, you put Cheese Whiz on your cheese sticks. Stop it. So, anywho, Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, Boston. I know a lot of Philly fans are like, are you kidding me? Right? Listen, city of brotherly hate. I send you my love. I send you my well wishes. I've never had a problem with Philadelphia. All I'm saying is, your fans are they're something else. Okay, you should never go to a game. Listen, somebody might boo you. They might like razz you a little bit. Playful. But when somebody tells you, don't go to a Philly game without a Philly jersey on. If you put any other team on going to a Philly game, somebody may consider murdering you. That's a problem. Be better, fans. You are fans. Okay. No need to commit a crime and go to jail because somebody wore another jersey. Let's knock it off and let's stop it, okay? This isn't Say Yes to the Dress. This isn't Project Runway. If they wear something different, let them be. Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Miles Sanders, but again, I say Saquon Barkley Jr. It's almost fitting. They went to the same school, and Miles was right after Saquon. So it's kind of unique. They both have a similar style play. If you looked at them again and they were on the same team, would you rank them the same as Saquon over Miles? I might. I probably would. And that's a problem. That's a problem for Miles Sanders. It's not a problem for this offense, though, because when you look at Devonta Smith, now they have A.J. Brown. Are you kidding me? Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This is a team. Look for this team to do kind of what, well, the Baltimore Ravens do. A rushing attack where they're able to throw the ball. Lamar Jackson surprised some people with his ability to throw the ball last year. And now that you mix in another talented receiver, they got two really good receivers on that team. I think that helps Miles Sanders, and I think that helps him, especially in a PPR league. I think this is a great time for him to pick up some check down passes, some screens, and whatever. But Kenneth Gainwell is not going to cut into him unless he gets hurt. Unless for some reason all of a sudden he loses his vision or what have you.
Yeah.
What I mean by vision is his ability to see the hole and cut and move. So I think a Miles Sanders is a guy that's, you know, maybe 27 overall is where I have him for running backs. And I got Kenneth Gainwell much further down than that, like a 49. I think it's a passing and running attack. But when you have a running quarterback, he takes a lot of those rushing yards, a la Lamar Jackson.
You named three running backs in Philly. Two of them got into the end zone. One of them didn't. The number one guy, Miles Sanders, did not have a rushing touchdown last year. Not a single rushing touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell gained, see what I did there, 291 yards, 4.3 yards of carry, had five rushing touchdowns. Boston Scott, and they were both behind Jordan Howard, mind you, for yards. Boston Scott, 373 yards, 4.3 yards carry, and seven touchdowns. Between Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell, 12 rushing touchdowns. Miles Sanders, zero. That many. Miles Sanders ends the season last year with these over 754 yards, 137 carries, 5.5 yards carry, no rushing touchdowns. This is where fantasy gets dicey because you may want to draft Miles. You may like Boston Scott in waivers. You may like Kenneth Gainwell in the middle of the season, but none of these guys is the guy. That's the tough part. That's what Mike gets to. It's saying if Miles and Saquon were on the same team, I'd probably still take Saquon. And what does that say about Miles? Because Saquon and Miles both get injured, and they're not consistently great, right? So I think ultimately all of these three guys have value, but Miles Sanders did not find the end zone. They're going to use Gainwell. They're going to use Scott. And that's going to hurt you if you draft Miles Sanders. And that's why he's not a number one running back. He's a number two. He's a number two with the caveat that you probably need to handcuff him. Now we go to the Washington Commanders. Gosh darn it. I can't tell you there's a lot more things that make me happier than finally saying a name of this Washington team. 2 years of not knowing who the hell they are. And here are the Washington Commanders. Finally found themselves. Finally figured it out. They are the Commanders. And they have Antonio Gibson, who is a 1,000-yard back. Where is he from? OMG. Memphis. Memphis is running back you. I don't care what anybody says right now. you look at five teams in the NFL, at least five teams in the NFL that have running backs from Memphis, four or five teams in the NFL. J.D. McKissick's there. Brian Robinson Jr., who I interviewed from Arizona, he's there. And Jarrett Patterson is also on this team with the Washington Commanders. And Jarrett Patterson coming from Buffalo, shuffle off to Buffalo, and shout out to the Mac for some action. So here we are right now. A lot of stuff here. Once again, they have multiple running backs that you want to think are going to get something, right? Why did you draft Robinson? Why do you have Jarrett Patterson? They have Reggie Bonifant, who played running back, wide receiver, tight end, and quarterback for the Louisville Cardinals. Played everything except for head coach, which maybe if he did, they wouldn't have head coaches cheating on their wives that are getting fired. But anywho, I digress. Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick are really the names we're looking at. Antonio Gibson's numbers last year finished him top six in yardage, 1,037, 258 carries, 4 yards a carry, 7 rushing touchdowns. The man is a beast. I credit Mike with telling you about this dude as well. I want to shout out Memphis all the time, but Mike's the guy that said, this guy's got a lot of fantasy value. Tell me your thoughts, Mr. Sofka. Is it an Antonio Gibson year once again?
It can be. He's got a high ceiling. The problem is, you know, how good is Carson Wentz going to be? Are they going to load 8 guys in a box because Carson Wentz can't get the ball to these receivers? Terry McLaurin, are you kidding me? How can you not get the ball to him? Jahan Johnson, Dotson, you just brought him in, and Curtis Samuel. So how good can Carson Wentz play is going to be the caveat to Antonio Gibson, unfortunately. That tempers him down a little bit. Then when you include the fact that J.D. McKissick is a great guy they like to pass the ball to, now in a PPR league that takes them down another couple ticks, they just bring in Brian Robinson. Oh, these guys are 1 inch apart and like 1 pound apart. Physically, they're the same guy, but I think Robinson runs with a heavier style. I think Gibson's more light and more fleet of foot. I think they're going to try to mix these guys in. I think they're going to try to mix the Jarrett Patterson in. But I still like Antonio Gibson. He's still worthy of being a three-down back. I just don't see him, because of those other things, making him an RB1 on my team. I got him ranked number 19. I have everybody else way down farther on the list than that. So Antonio Gibson's the only guy I'm really looking to draft. But again, some of these guys get overdrafted. But, you know, people are homers, their favorite team, the guy with their – he graduated from Memphis with him, so he's going to be my RB1. Go ahead, let that happen. Don't be afraid if people get drafted higher than what I said they were worth. If I tell you the guy's 22, he's probably going to end up in the 20s. Very rare is there a time where I miss on a guy that big, yeah, where I tell you he's in the 20s and he ends up being a top 5 player, okay? I've been doing this a long time, since 1992. You know, and you know what? There's a lot of guys out there that are a lot smarter than me. So for whatever it's worth, look, I like doing this. I like giving this advice. I like helping others play. And I like playing with the same people I'm giving advice to. You know why? Because you're only as good as the people you play against. Go check out my stuff at HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com. Winning Fantasy Football, it's the same website, WinningFantasyFootball.com. And follow us along on the Facebook group, Winning Fantasy Football.
Yeah, and I – listen, Antonio Gibson, high end two, late second round, early third round to the smart people out there, is how I look at him going in your draft. With that being said, once again, Mike Sofka of Hall of Fame, FantasyFootball.com. Myself, Dan Tortora of WakeUpCallDT.com. Jointly together, Facebook group, Winning Fantasy Football. All you got to do is go to Facebook, type in Winning Fantasy Football, click search, and you will find us there, and you will join us there. So we look forward to seeing you there. And, of course, every Wednesday between 10 and 11 a.m. Eastern Time, minimally, usually over. We look forward to seeing you in the Fantasy Football Power Hour, powered by the Wildcat Sports Pub, 3680 Milton Avenue, Camillus, New York. 7 days a week, indoor and outdoor seating as weather permits, outside, and of course, takeout and delivery. 315-487-2222. Wildcat Wings, second place here in Central New York, being in it for the Wing Fest for the first time ever. Get the Wildcat sauce. Come out and enjoy it. Awesome games, awesome atmosphere, family-friendly, safe place, great environment, huge banquet hall, everything they got, it's all there for you. So, we'll see you at the Wildcat, 3680 Milton Avenue in Camillus, New York. We'll see you every Wednesday on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora between 10 and 11 a.m. Eastern Time inside these Cafe Cubal studios. For Mike Sofka, I'm Dan Tortora. You're awesome, and you just got a full helping of the entire NFC when it comes to the running backs. Next week, it's the AFC running backs, 16 other teams in the NFL, as we get you set for the upcoming season. Mr. Sofka, as always, I salute you, I applaud you, and I thank you. My favorite beard in America, and maybe the world. Appreciate you as always, Mike, and I'll talk with you soon.
All right, thank you, Dan. I look forward to it.
Take care.